Don't adjust your radio. It's supposed to sound like this. The Double D's in the Morning, live from the Farm City Supply Studio on AM 1450 KBMW, the voice of the valley.
Well, I'm feeling a little wonky today. Might be the coffee.
I'm not sure what's in that coffee, so you may be right.
I'm just saying. Welcome back. Here, the February 28th edition of the Double D's. 21 right now, and got some clouds out there. Welcome to the show, and hey, thank you for making us a part of your morning here.
Glad you could be here today, and we are so glad to have our next guest back with us again. Dr. Jane Symington is with us, award-winning author, a certified clinical hypnotherapist and certified grief and trauma specialist. She's counseled thousands of people from various cultures. Her works include the books Through Soul's Eyes, Reinventing a Life of Joy and Promise, and Journey to the Sacred, Mending a Fractured Soul. Dr. Jane, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us today.
It's a wonderful pleasure to be with you and with all of us that are participating in this show this morning.
Well, it's, you know, we've been talking about it throughout the morning about reinvention, reinventing yourself. You know, this is something that, you know, generally a lot of us do this at the beginning of a year, maybe, you know, at the beginning, you know, we're going to change it up. We're going to reinvent ourselves. Or maybe the season's changing. You know, here where we are now, we're starting to get to that point where, you know, we're starting to think about spring. And maybe that's a great time to wherever we're at. You know, the term reinvention comes up quite a bit. And so what about reinvention? Why is this something that that something sounds so great in theory, Dr. Jane, but it seems like an amazing task for so many? It sounds great on paper, but boy, very difficult.
Well, the truth is that so many people right now especially are going through very difficult life experiences. And that's my area of expertise, helping people to move through that difficult experience. And often as we go through a tragedy or a major loss or a financial downturn, it seems like we kind of get stuck there and we sort of see that as our lot in life. And so we need to also understand that there's an up and out, but sometimes that takes a little bit of effort to be able to reframe what we think about ourselves, how we're moving, and just to realize that there is a possible beautiful golden light at the end of this dark tunnel. So some of that is just a number of moments of reframing and being able to look at ourselves differently. And that's really what my work is all about, is to help people find that new purpose after and that new meaning in life after these long days of darkness and kind of despair even sometimes.
Well, and long days of darkness can even be just, you know, just the long, I mean, going through a horrible winter. You know, like I mean, just going through that time where you don't see a lot of light, you know, maybe literally and figuratively, and all of a sudden making the change or deciding to make that change. Where do we start? I mean, where's the starting point for us?
Well, I think it's just even to know. And sometimes it means, like, you know, many times people, I hear them using language like, this has happened to me. It will take the rest of my life. I'll never get over this. It will take all of my life to heal. And so I think sometimes, well, for me, a big part of my job is to help people reframe that thinking and start using different language and beginning to believe in ourselves again. One of the major starting points is what I call reconnection. When we're going through a difficult experience, most people don't know that they actually end up holding their breath. And just think about that. If you hear something awful, you kind of gasp. And then for a long time, we hold our breath, which really interferes with people's grounding. And so one of my first jobs with people and encouragement is reestablish that reconnection. So, and I call it a reconnection between heaven and earth, between Creator and the Earth Mother, whatever language you want to use. But it is really a very big piece of grounding. And I teach that a lot. I have that on CDs. I have that, you know, well described in both my books.
Now, is this something that, you know, we hear it a lot Dr. Jane, of people going through things and going through a grief process. You know, it's a process of change. This isn't something that we're going to reinvent ourselves just like with the snap of a finger here. This is something that's going to take some time. It's a process, correct?
It is a process. But we need to understand that many times we hear people saying time will heal. But the truth is, time fades memory. Time in and of itself does not heal. You have to actively make a commitment and be engaged in healing. I can tell you the very day that every one of my thousands of clients has said, okay, today I move forward. I need to reinvent myself. I need to change. And just to share a little bit of my own experience, about 3 years after my son was tragically killed, my sisters were here for Thanksgiving, and they were preparing the dinner. I wasn't capable of doing that. But I heard them laughing. And inside of myself, I knew that I hadn't laughed for years. But I also know the power of increasing the endorphins in our brain, which is really our body's own happy medicine. So I forced myself with my dog. We would walk miles. And way out in the country where nobody would know that I was, you know, having this breakdown, I would force myself to laugh until that laughter actually came out of me more naturally. And so I think if there's one message I want to leave is we have to actively take steps towards reconnecting ourselves, towards one more time understanding that we are these incredible spiritual beings and that we are one with that. And that's the big journey, and there's often a lot of fear attached to that soul awareness, but we need to actively engage in taking steps towards that.
Dr. Jane, you raise a good point in the fact that we have to take action on this. Do you encounter a lot of people who are just resigned to the fact that, you know, life is this beautiful, cruel mess, and it's always going to be that way, so you know, just sort of always looking on the dark side of things?
Absolutely. And, you know, trauma and tragedy makes us very self-focused, and we look at ourselves, and we begin to see ourselves in this powerless, hopeless, helpless way. And so sometimes I have to be actually quite strict with people and call them on that behavior and say, you know, you need to take a look at this, because when you're going through this process, you need to take a look at, do you always want to be this bitter human being? Because how you come out of the end of this tunnel is really very much, you have to take control of this. You have to take charge of this. And that means taking charge of your thinking, charge of reconnecting with yourself, taking a look at what might have even happened to your brain, and to begin to work on some of those strategies.
Is it helpful, Dr. Jane, to look around too, if you have family or friends or children, and say, okay, how is my black spirit affecting them?
Well, for a number of years, I worked with women who had experienced a lot of trauma. I worked in a federal prison for women. And that is the biggest lesson that those women taught me. They frequently said, I need to heal. I need to stop this now because I need to heal, because I don't want my, I want my children's life to be different. And so they were recognizing that their behavior had caused them this incarceration. And but now they wanted the tragedy to stop with them so that their children could have a different life. But also on the flip side of that, I'm now a grandmother, and I watch my grandsons and in their ability to enjoy every moment of life. And so I purposely, if I'm feeling down, feeling bleak, which I can feel, mm-hmm. like we all can,
sure.
I will think about that and think, you know, just look at how they stop and put a little butterfly in their basket, and they will just look at that for hours. Can't I be present to those moments as well?
Wow, and that just leads right into, you know, living in the present moment. We've had many guests on this show, and we've heard it, many of us. You know, we hear the term living in the present moment. How vital is that to true recovery? I mean, really living in the moment.
It's a phrase that people actually sometimes even get tired of hearing because it truly is, it's a euphemism. it is a realness, but it's more difficult to do because we seem to be drawn back into these fears, these tragedies. And so I will listen for people saying, and I listen for two things, as we're counseling and as we're working through a strategy. If that person says to me, blah, 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 but I know that they have just put a huge eraser, but is a huge eraser of all of the strategies that we have just been looking at. However, if they go, blah, 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 and I know that person is now committed, they're ready to move forward. So I would like to share that there are two words that all of us need to be aware of, and those are the words that either keep us in the moment and allow us to be present to ourselves or draw us back into those fears of the past. And so if we're using a lot of but, that's a big eraser. If we're using and I will do this, oh, yes, and this is very important for me, that to me is soulful awareness, and those are the things that keep me in the moment. And so if I'm finding, I've tried to take that word but out, even if I'm doing an evaluation of a student, I try to take that out and change it to an and, which I feel is a strategy rather than just a euphemism.
So it's the big butt that always seems to get in the way, right?
Indeed. Absolutely.
Dr. Jamie and I were talking about this a while back, and I said, you know, I find it so hard to get in the moment myself. But when I am, I made the observation that it's really difficult for me to have a really bleak or negative thought when you're really in the moment. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing is that if I find that I'm having a bleak thought or I'm having trouble staying in the moment, I take a look at my body. And if my neck is tucked down and my eyes are cast down, that's easy to be then in the past or fear of the future. So I will immediately put my chin up, gaze my eyes forward, even upward. And, you know, it's almost impossible to frown or be in a dark moment if your eyes are gazing up. And so sometimes even in counseling, I will say to the person, okay, put your head up, gaze your eyes upward, and now smile and say what you were saying. And so if the head immediately drops down and we're looking downward again, I know that person is back in the past. And it's almost impossible to smile and really be fully in the moment if your head is cast down. So watching our body language is important as well.
It brings hope to many, I think, just hearing this message, you know, because so many of us are sitting in a spot right now where we may be just hearing this message today and figuring this out, saying, you know, yeah, today can be the day. Why not today? And let's start today. And I think so many people hearing that and just, you know, knowing that you can start today, you don't have to wait. I mean, now's just as good a time as any, right?
Absolutely, and I know that personally, and I know that professionally. And as I mentioned before, after the tragic death of my son, I really had to make an effort, but I had to convince myself that I was worthy of that. And so I've received the Woman of Vision Award from Global Television, and I was actually coined the Woman of Hope because it does, I believe that is my mission in life, is to bring hope and promise to people as they, and to help them reinvent their life, because truly a difficult life experience can take you right down where you feel like you're crawling on your belly. And we need to understand that there's a time of metamorphosis, but there's also a time for the butterfly when we can fly. And my company is actually called Taking Flight.
Well, and I was reading on the web, on your website, about how you describe your time practicing Western healthcare as a period where you looked at people as physical beings who happened to have a spirit, and then you say over time you came to learn that we're, in fact, spiritual beings who just happened to be in bodies. Talk about that transformation in your own mind.
Well, the transformation happened for me because and it happens for most people when they move through a very difficult experience. We move into a place, in the very beginning, we try very hard to hold on to our old beliefs. And we even use euphemisms or false reassurance that says, well, it must be God's way. And so, but yet we come then to what's referred to as the dark night of the soul, and we start challenging so many of those beliefs because our own experience now isn't holding up. And in that dark night, we start really testing some of those untested beliefs, and we begin to realize that we are so much more. And so it's one thing that I always work with my counselors in helping them to see that when people are moving, often they need to sometimes even challenge the religious beliefs, because many of those are very much attached to fear. And they start to realize that they are incredible spiritual beings. And sometimes that can be really distressing for the counselor, because the transformation that's happening for the person going through the experience, they may be becoming much more advanced spiritually than the counselor is, or challenging sometimes even the beliefs of the counselor. And that can be a huge experience for people. That happened to me, and I witness that happening all of the time in people's lives as they're moving through that. But that can be a crisis, a beliefs crisis, and a very difficult time for the person going through the experience, if because people around them may still hold the old beliefs, but yet there was this huge transformation taking place in me, and I had to come to the place where I realized that I now know myself very differently. And it had come from a beliefs, which are always given to you by other people, to a knowing. And a knowing cannot be challenged. And because you are now firm in that, you've tested that in the fire of your own experience.
Dr. Jane, you talk about beliefs and old beliefs and changing old beliefs. Do you think it's true that people who live in that bell jar sometimes are kind of comfortable with it? I mean, as dark and murky as it may be, it is familiar. Is there any kind of comfort in that?
Absolutely. We get very good at navigating those difficult waters of grief. And we know exactly how to manage that. It's not comfortable, but we know how to manage it. And we have so much fear attached, maybe often even from the beliefs of the past, that we are terrified now to step out into the new beginnings. And so part of reinventing ourselves really is all about taking risk. And so I encourage people to tiptoe. I say, don't slam the doors behind you, because many times as people are changing and transforming, they know that the old job no longer fits. They know sometimes even that the relationships that they're in, they need to close those doors. And so my job is to help them tiptoe out, just taking very calculated risks. But we actually really need to take one risk a day to help us grow and transform.
Wow. Another thing that I found just remarkable in reading on the website was when you mentioned talking about the real world, what we call, you know, living in the real world here, the world of physical objects. We've got bills to pay. We've got things to do. This is, you're saying it's actually the illusion, the spiritual realm that we kind of look at, you know, if we have any time, if at all. That's the real world. We've got it turned around here, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the major things that I do, and I work a lot with trauma, often as people move through a traumatic life experience, they actually leave a part of themselves or a part of their spirit. That's very ancient teaching, but that has really proven to be true for many therapists. We need to take that person back to those places where they have left a part of their spirit. And when we help them bring that part of their spirit back, it's like this incredible transformation has happened to them. And they now see themselves as a more full soul, if you like. But even if we look at that in neurological terms, we have this piece in our brain that most people don't even know about, but it's such a powerful knowing and understanding to have. In the middle of our brain, we have what's called the limbic system, and so we have two parts in there that are important to look at. One is called the amygdala, and that records all of the emotion, all of the body responses to something. But if the tragedy has been really difficult, it can close down the other part of the limbic system called the hippocampus, and its job is really to take all of that feeling and put it into an awareness that we can have as memory. So who did this? When did this happen? How many times? But if that part of the brain has closed down, we only have what's called intrinsic memory. So we have pictures of that. We have body sensations of that, but we really don't have the full context of that. And the important piece that we need to understand is that the amygdala, that storing those emotion and those body sensations, works mostly does most of its processing through the brain's right hemisphere. And Carl Jung, who I'm sure most people have heard about, the famous psychotherapist, said that if you want to speak soul's language, you need to address the brain's right hemisphere. And the brain's right hemisphere deals mostly with creativity, with dreams, with trance, with imagery. And so it's one of the reasons I became a hypnotherapist, because I need to understand how to get into this right hemisphere. I'm also an art therapist and a dream therapist. And so I encourage people to connect with nature, to pay attention to their dreams, to actually to be creative. And that doesn't mean you have to be an artist, even though I'm an art that use art therapy, but it even means making a creative recipe or doing something new each day. And so that's important to understand, because that opens up that part of the brain where those tragic memories and grief memories are stored, but we don't quite know how to get into them, but yet the body continually responds to that. And it opens up so that the brain can work more fully together. But it also speaks very much then to this is a soulful experience we're going through, and we have to find spiritual strategies to address it.
Dr. Jane, it's always wonderful having you on our program. If people are listening, they want to get a hold of your books, they want to get a hold of more information about you, how can we find out more?
Well, the best way to actually purchase the books is through Amazon.com. And the one that's probably the most valuable around the content we've been talking about this morning is Through Soul's Eyes, Reinventing a Life of Joy and Promise. I clearly describe many imageries, many techniques very clearly that people can use. The website is takingflightinternational.com. Now, people need to spell my name right if they're going on Amazon. It's SIMINGTON, Dr. Jane.
All right. Dr. Jane, it's always wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jane Symington, again, go to takingflightinternational.com. Go to the website, and you can find out a whole lot more, and you can find the books on Amazon.